Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You've coached in the AFC North longer than anybody. What did you make of the rarity of seeing an intra-divisional trade of an experienced quarterback inside the division?
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
When the Bengals acquired him, knowing what you know about Zach and how he likes to run his offense, like from Cincinnati's perspective, did it make sense for them?
It certainly made sense from Cincinnati's perspective.
Mike Tomlin, out of character, ripping on a division rival's GM. Sarcasm, wit. You love the squirrely, Mike Tomlin. And joining us now to get into that and more is our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, with the Hawk Report. Brought to you by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, October 3.95% 7-month CD special at Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Jeff A., good morning. B., what got into Tomlin? Why blast Andrew Berry the way that he did?
Obviously, he didn't want to see Joe Flacco in Cincinnati. And I guess that answers the question of, remember a couple of years ago, you know, would they trade any of their quarterbacks in the division? Well, apparently not. And he's not a fan of that. And I get what he's saying. It's just, wow. He could have just said he doesn't understand it. And he had something he wanted to say. So, listen, for us, our business, that was some jolt.
It was awesome. I loved it. And I think the Flacco playing for Cincinnati now this weekend element of it is a big part of it for sure. I also think Mike Tomlin, the ultimate live for now competitor, can't square how a team would have a quarterback start the season, not give that guy an extended look, and then trade him to a division rival when all Mike Tomlin ever wants to do is win that week's game and try to stack him because he wants to win that year. I think he is so diametrically opposed to how the Cleveland Browns run their franchise that he almost takes it as a personal affront to the competitive nature of the sport.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I think it is that DNA of, like, I'm not thinking about down the road. I'm thinking about, why would I hurt myself and make that type of trade? It's not even as, like, woe is us as the Steelers. It's like, what the hell are they doing there? Like, why would you ever make that deal? I think the fact that he said starting quarterback. So I think people say, oh, they traded the backup. Well, no, that was the guy you thought you could win with. And then when you realized this team isn't going to win, then you went to the rookie.
Jeff, who did you give a game ball to from this past game on Sunday?
Man, I mean, I think the entire offense, to an extent, deserves game balls. I mean, everybody contributed at some point. I mean, I think Art called a good game. I thought Aaron executed it well. How about Broderick? Didn't call his name. Weren't expecting that. Even though he was getting help, he was getting some chips. So do other offensive linemen against TJ and Miles almost every time. So I thought he played well. I mean, I mean, DK made some big plays. It would be hard for me to break it down. I mean, Jalen Ramsey on defense, everything he fought through to be on that field, you know, 13 tackles for Elliott, two sacks for Herbig. I mean, it was a complete game. While some of the other guys weren't a part of the stats, I think they contributed a lot in that victory.
Jeff Hathorn with us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We asked this question to start the show. The Bills lost. Now that's too straight for them. They have not looked all that impressive. Their defense stinks. The Chiefs are 3-3. The Ravens are 1-5. So are the Steelers a real AFC contender? 70% of Steelers fans are saying yes right now. Jeff, it's 5 weeks in, but do you agree?
If the season ended now, they're winning me over week by week. I think the best thing is this, and what I just said about how well they played against Cleveland, that isn't even a great game. Like, there's still a lot of meat on the bone on both sides. I think that's what's different about this start compared to some of the other years. Some of the other years, you just knew everything was clicking early. And you're thinking, how are they going to sustain this through the season? What they're doing now is they're finding ways to win while they're improving. Now, the schedule has helped with that. I mean, if they would have started with Baltimore's schedule, it might be a different scenario, but they didn't. And they're sitting 4-1. And, you know, when you look at the beginning of the year, you think of all these teams that are better than the Steelers on paper, and then those injuries start happening. And Baltimore's a different team. Cincinnati's a different team. I think Kansas City's starting to find a little something, but you know, the Bills aren't invincible. Like, you're starting to realize some things about some teams. And even though the Chargers pulled out a win, you know, they're beatable. But then who thought the Colts? Who thought Indiana Jones would have this type of impact in Indianapolis?
Jeff, this is very redundant, but I think it's relevant right now. I mean, the Steelers are clearly in the thick of things. You know, they have some great opportunities ahead of them. Especially with the other teams in the AFC not playing so well or beat up and injured. Should they go after a number two wide receiver? Do you think that is necessary for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
I know they like Calvin. And, you know, they feel like their tight ends give them a lot of options in the pass game. But I think one of the things that has helped them to where they're at is depth. And we've seen it at outside linebacker. We've seen it in the defensive backfield. I think they should add some depth to that receiver room. And Calvin could still be your starter if he's performing. But I think as you look at it, while Skowronek plays a nice role and Scotty Miller could do things here and there, I think that's one place where you could look for depth. I know everybody will say, well, offensive tackle. Those are very, very hard to find. And they think they have someone in Calvin Anderson that could at least come in and spot start. So, yeah, I mean, I would – depth there would be a good add for them.
I'm with you because of the state of the AFC. You would be kicking yourself if an injury to a wide receiver down the stretch wound up derailing your season. I do think this team's better than last year's team, Jeff. Again, through 5 weeks, it's a week-to-week, month-to-month right. league. But here are some of the differences, and I wonder if there's anything that you think I might be missing. I think the locker room makeup, there's a difference with Ramsey and with Aaron Rodgers. I think Rodgers' consistency and the freedom that they let him operate with are different than what you got from Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. The AFC clearly weaker than it was last year. The red zone statistics, the fast start offensive statistics, all of these things to me are real tangible differences and I think are going to continue. Is there anything else that you see comparing this year's team to last year's team?
I mean, I think all those points are valid. And like I said earlier, I think the fact that they haven't played their best ball, like there's still a lot there that's realistic. Like, I'm not talking about unrealistic things that this team could do. There are realistic things. We're starting to see the defense play like they should play. But I think your point three is the one that's on the money. I think the last few years, the Steelers have had a good team. It's just that the AFC is loaded. They've had so many good teams. Now, I mean, did Baltimore dig itself too much of a hole? Is Cincinnati just, even with Flacco, just not the same team as the other scenarios that we just talked about? And while Indianapolis is 5-1, I mean that could be the team like the Steelers of 5 years ago. It had a meteoric start, and then all of a sudden by December, it's looking like a whole different team.
Jeff, who's the next head coach at Penn State?
Even though his buyout is huge, Matt Rhule. I mean, he and Kraft are buds. Like that, it just makes – I mean, he's a Penn Stater. It's been rumored for years. Like, he didn't even dial it down when he was asked about it yesterday in Nebraska. He just kind of sidestepped it.
Yes.
Now, he's got a monster buyout. But, I mean, this Adidas contract is bringing in a lot of money. Like, I don't think – and I respect what Terry's done – you know, what to rise up from where he was, and he does, he's a Penn Stater as well. He's a three-generation Penn State guy. But I think you're looking to make a splash. Like, you're not, and you're not looking at a rebuilder. Like, you don't need a Matt Campbell or somebody who rebuilds programs. You need someone to take this and just take it one more step.
I'm curious, this is not really a question that we've discussed very often because it seems like everyone's in agreement, but do you think they did the right thing by moving on from Franklin?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah, only because the track record against in the biggest games was what it was. And I would tell you, you know, I covered John Cooper at Ohio State, and it was kind of a similar thing. They had great talent. They could get to about here, but they couldn't get that over the top.
Yeah.
And year after year, they would lose to Michigan or lose in the biggest games. And you're sitting there and you're like, every once in a while they tease you with a big win, but you're like, how is all this talent not winning a national championship, or at least being in a national championship game? And I think you got to that point with Penn State.
Jeff Mason-Heinschel is something. I mean, his throw to Desmond Reed in the back of the end zone looked to me like Johnny Manziel, like Baker Mayfield. Can Pitt, now that their season's been resuscitated, can they contend in the ACC?
So, I mean, Syracuse is going to be – that's always kind of a tricky game. NC State, I think they're somewhat evenly matched, although now with the way Heinsohn's playing, I think there's a little edge. And then you get into November where you've got Notre Dame and Miami on the schedule.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
you're right. I don't want to shortchange Georgia Tech, and I know Brent Pry, you know, there's a lot of talk about him at Penn State because of the job he's done at Georgia Tech. I don't know that they could win the ACC because I think Miami's just a lights-out team. But could they get back in the conversation? Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, at the beginning of the year, I think Pitt was in a mix with a bunch of teams. And they blew that game at Louisville, and you kind of wondered, okay, where do they sit? Well, I think now they're showing that even with some of the injuries that they've had, that they can compete with the upper tier of the ACC. Now, can they beat those teams that you mentioned coming down the stretch? We'll see. But at least now you kind of go into it, it's like, all right, they got a chance. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. You give them an opportunity, and you're watching a freshman grow. And now it's about retention of that freshman for the program.
Yeah, I think they're in position now to get themselves into position.
Yeah.
I think they've got a shot to be 7-2 potentially when Notre Dame comes to town.
And guys, if Dez stays healthy, I mean that's just a difference maker for them. I mean, he only rushed for 45 yards, but look what he did on the outside, ACC receiver of the week as a running back. And he didn't even do anything in return game. So he's the guy. If he could stay healthy, as much as Mason obviously is critical, he brings something that they just can't have anywhere else, can't bring off the bench.
Jeff, we'll talk to you on game day. Appreciate your time. Stay up and watch the Pens tonight so we don't have to, okay?
Sure, yeah.
All right, Jeff. We'll talk to you Thursday. Thanks a million. That is Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Coming up next, just as I've been perusing some numbers, I found maybe the biggest difference between this year's Steelers team and last year's Steelers team. And one that, no question, it's going to keep It's going to keep up. We'll tell you what that is when we return. Are you smarter than a plumber at the bottom of the hour?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Same time, you guys have struggled on Thursday nights recently, particularly on the road. Is there anything you can put your finger on as a through line or anything you do?
I'm only concerned about 2025. I got my ass kicked in a lot of ways over the last 19 years.
I love that. Brian Batko says, you guys haven't won on the road on Thursday night football. Yeah, I'm focused on now. Got my ass kicked a lot of different ways over the course of my career. I like that from Tomlin. A chippy Tomlin, a terse Tomlin, a curt Tomlin yesterday because he didn't sleep. We might be that way on Friday.
Yes.
After watching the Steeler game. I was attempting to fall asleep at 8 p.m. last night, and the Steelers will kick off after that. I don't think the Steelers are going to lose to Cincinnati. I was scared about it a couple of weeks ago. I was certainly scared when they traded for Joe Flacco. I think Tomlin's panic meter went up a little bit because he clearly loves Joe Flacco. They're not going to lose, and here's why. The Steelers are much better in this particular area than they were last year, and I think it's absolutely going to continue. Last season, the Steelers were middle of the pack in sacks. They had 40 on the year. For them, that's low. They already have 20 sacks this year.
Hmm.
Through five games.
Yes. Yep.
So that's 40 sacks. They'll hit the 40 sack mark 10 games in with seven still to go. Their pass rush is so much better than it's been. And you're rotating Herbig, Watt, and Highsmith. 50 snaps for Herbig, 49 for Watt, 47 for Highsmith on Sunday. I don't see why you can't continue that. You can keep TJ fresher throughout the year and not have a dip in sack production because Herbig's been the better pass rusher this year. I think Derek Harmon is a significant upgrade, my God, over Larry Ogunjobi. I think that's obvious. We said they would blitz more. Statistically, they have. We saw Ramsey with two sacks. We're seeing Patrick Queen get into the backfield. I think they're going to finish probably second in the NFL in sacks this year, and the only reason they're not going to finish first is because, dude, Denver's got 30 already.
They have 30?
They have 30. They had 70 last year. I'll settle for a second if that means you're up around 55 or 60. And by the by, since Harmon came in and Herbig's been playing more the last three games, they have 17 sacks over that three-game span.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's not going to be able to block them. They're giving up about three sacks a game. That offensive line stinks. That's why Joe Burrow's hurt. I think the Steelers go in there and dominate up front again and win the game.
It is amazing that this past game against the Browns was the first time everybody on the defense played together this year. So, I mean, you think about if everybody was healthy up until this point, they'd probably be right with the Denver Broncos.
That's a good point, man. Yeah.
I mean, with Harmon being out and Highsmith being out, and you know, it's crazy that they've had these injuries already and they still have that type of production.
And I don't know why it would change. And I'll give Tomlin a lot of credit. Last year, I think because they didn't trust the secondary, they rushed for a ton. And now they trust the secondary, and they're blitzing. The league average is last year was blitzing around 26% of dropbacks. The Steelers have been up around 40% this year. That's exactly what we called for this offseason. And you're making difficult decisions up front. You're going to double-team TJ Watt. You got to throw a couple of bodies at Cam Hayward. If you block Nick Herbig one-on-one, guess what you're not doing? Blocking him.
Exactly.
You can't block that guy.
No.
They got to pay him at the end of the year. not to advance this like beyond the here and the now, but that guy's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. I don't even feel like I need to add any qualifiers to it.
But he, like, this pass game, he almost rushed at every spot, too. Like, you know, he rushed it in the A-gap and won. I mean, he didn't get to the quarterback, but he won his one-on-one matchup. And to be that small, to be able to do that, to rush every gap and not just out, you know, on the outside, that just lets you do so much on defense. Whenever he's moving around, like, I'd be like, oh, my God.
What do we do with this
Tasmanian
guy?
Devil. This god dang Tasmanian devil. Where is he going to – what gap is he going to end up in? Like, that would be a nightmare for me if I was an offensive line.
So why can't the Steelers contend? Look at Philadelphia last year. That's why they beat the Chiefs, because they were throwing them around for an entire game. Like, Denver made the playoffs last year on the back of their pressure defense. I think the Steelers can do it again, and the Steelers have forced 5 interceptions this year. They could have had 5 in the game on Sunday, and that thing really would have got ugly. Why? It's because they're getting pressure on the quarterback. I don't see that changing this week. I don't see that changing the rest of the year, as long as they stay healthy, but we've talked about it. They've got better depth than they have in years. So we could talk about all the differences between this year's team and last year's team. I feel pretty damn confident that the pressure they're getting on the quarterback, that's not just going to stop. Their players are far too good, and you're right, now they're finally healthy. We'll put a pin in that conversation. We got Are You Smarter Than a Plumber coming up next. Last week, we wiped the floor with Southside Jake on Steelers-Browns trivia. We'll see what he's got in his quiver this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? Coming up in mere moments, but before my ADD, ADHD brain forgets about this. We talked about the Steelers having 20 sacks on the season, good for second in the NFL, 17 the last three games. Three of the top teams in the AFC, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Colts, they're the three quarterbacks that have been knocked down more than any other quarterback in the NFL. I just keep finding reasons to be optimistic about these Steelers, Doran.
Look at you.
Wow. I'm always optimistic at 7:35 on Tuesdays because that means we're about to kick Southside Jake's ass in a battle of trivia wits. Good morning to you, Jake. How we doing, buddy?
Good morning, but not this week, boys. Not this week. I dug deep, and I hope you're ready for this.
Why do you say that every week, and then we still whoop your butt?
you got to get the fans what they want. They want a battle, right?
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think I got some really good questions for you this week, but it wouldn't surprise me if you knew them, just because you guys have very large brains.
Bring it.
All right, boys, here we go. First question. Rico Dowdle of the Carolina Panthers just had back-to-back 230-yard plus games from scrimmage. Only 6 other players have ever done that. All running backs and 1 wide receiver. Who was the wide receiver?
Ooh.
Wait, say it again. Back-to-back 200-yard games?
Rico Dowdle of the Carolina Panthers just had back-to-back 230-yard-plus games from scrimmage.
Okay.
Only 6 other players have done that. All running backs and 1 wide receiver. Who was the wide receiver? All right.
Real quick, because I want to be smarter than you, like so much smarter than you.
Okay.
I think we're going to hear Puka Nacua, and I think we're going to hear Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
I also think Megatron could be a possibility.
Jerry Rice.
Jerry Rice immediately was the first name I wrote down.
A, Josh Gordon. B, Cooper Kupp. C, DeSean Jackson. D, Calvin Johnson.
You said total yards?
That is from scrimmage, yes, sir.
Oh, from scrimmage.
Oh, from scrimmage.
This is a good one. This is real good.
230 yards plus, back-to-back weeks.
I wanted to say Cooper Kupp because so Cooper Kupp is who I thought of immediately, but Josh Gordon's inclusion in the list and DeSean Jackson's inclusion in the list has my ears perked. Should we go 50-50?
Yes.
50-50. We are going A, Josh Gordon, or C, DeSean Jackson.
Wow, dang it. He did the thing. It's got to be Gordon, right? Because he's just such a random inclusion. DeSean Jackson.
He used to light it up.
Yes, he did. 50-yard touchdown catches out his wazoo.
All day.
Mm-hmm. Man. He was also a great punt returner, which is why I was asking about total yards.
Josh Gordon.
Okay.
Josh Gordon, A.
Hey, Josh Gordon did do this in 2013.
Let's
so, yes.
go! Hey!
You
go.
Got it.
There we go. Nice. Man, he was a beast.
Oh, man, I thought I had you. I thought I had you. Really did. But I never had my car. All right, here we go. Since the year 2000, a starting quarterback has been traded to an intra-division opponent how many times?
Since what year?
A, 2000. Since the year 2000, a starting quarterback has been traded to an intra-division opponent how many times? A, 2, B, 3, C, 4, or D, 6?
Well, we got Flacco, so that's one. Off the top of my head, none are ringing a bell. Other intra-division trades. Are we talking?
One was not an option.
Did you? I know. Did you say mid-season?
I mean, throughout. It doesn't even have to be during the season. It could be off-season.
Hmm.
Mm. Oh, man.
I mean, it's just going to be a total guess.
Yeah, it's a guess. I'd say two.
Yeah, let's go with two.
Okay, the correct answer is three. Donovan McNabb to the Eagles in 2010. Drew Bledsoe, Patriots to the Buffalo Bills in 2001. And then, obviously, Flacco, Browns to the Bengals.
I knew that for the record.
So McNabb went to the Washington team, right? Yeah. All right.
So, and according to my research, this is the only three intra-division trades of starting quarterbacks that has ever happened.
All right. Give us question three, the rubber match.
All right. Oh, man. You guys play fantasy football, don't you?
Not really.
Not well.
Well, you're going to today. In a standard ESPN PPR fantasy league format, this player holds the record for the most fantasy points in a single season. So, point per reception format. A, LT. B, Jamal Charles. C, Reggie Bush. Or D, Matt Forte.
Oh.
Forte was great.
Yes. It's either Charles or Forte.
Not LT.
You can ask Callis.
Yeah, all right.
Callis.
Callis, no, I'm sure he does fantasy football.
No, I don't. But point per reception? Or point per... Say that again?
We've come to the wrong place.
Right.
PPR, point per reception.
You should have got me for the other one. I knew the other one.
I feel like Jamal Charles is sort of the weird inclusion there, leading me to believe that you're right and it was Jamal Charles.
No, he's trying to throw you off. I mean, I've got Jake's psychology. It's definitely not that guy.
You might.
He has
Reggie Bush seems too obvious.
It's not
Reggie.
It's not him. It's not Reggie.
What are the other two then?
LaDainian Tomlinson. I think
Matt Forte.
I think it's LT.
Forte had a really good season. I don't think it's LT. The other
one season.
Forte was a tremendous fantasy running back. You want to go Forte?
Yeah.
We're going Forte.
It was a LT. 2006, 481 fantasy points in a single season.
Goodbye, Jake.
Bye, Jake.
Southside Jake, Southside Plumbing and Heating. We lost. Goodbye.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, see. LT's one of my favorite players ever to watch.
He is. You like him a lot.
I
never
LT.
Liked him.
What?
Never.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't like his running style.
What's wrong with you? Oh, no. You didn't like his running style.
I did. Nope. Never liked it.
I wrote down Cooper Kupp again. Before, I like to try to write some down before we get the final four. Sean Alexander had that year where he had 30 touchdowns, won the MVP. LT had a million touchdowns. What a player.
Should have tagged me in sooner.
You got it wrong.
No, I knew the other one. The interdivisional quarterback.
You knew it after we got the right answer. I mean,
yeah, how did you know it?
I remember those instances happening.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Who were the quarterbacks again?
Text is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Why a big-time piece of this year's Pittsburgh Steelers could be gone after the year. The great Trey Essex is going to be joining us in 10 minutes. Two-time Super Bowl champion offensive lineman with the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of blaggers were critical of Broderick Jones the way he played on Sunday. Pro Football Focus critical of the way that Broderick Jones played on Sunday. What did Trey Essex think about the first-year left tackles game? We'll get his thoughts and opinions on that coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Real quick, just saw this. The Bills, their four wins have come against teams with a combined record of 3-21.
Oh, wow.
The Dolphins, the Saints, the Ravens, and another bad team I already forgot.
Dolphins, Saints.
Mm-hmm. Jets.
Jets.
3-21. Oh, Steelers haven't beat anybody. Look at the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Bills. We should grade everyone the same way. Play no favorites. If the Steelers were 4-2 with that schedule, zero people would be giving them credit.
Zero.
Zero. You know who's starting to get some credit around here? One Arthur Smith. This, my friend, from the Tennessean. Titans obviously fired Brian Callahan, their head coach, yesterday, which I can't believe it wasn't McDaniel to be the first coach fired.
Seriously.
And this is year one with a rookie quarterback. Obviously, the rookie quarterback didn't like Brian Callahan.
Nope.
That has to be that, right? Well, the Nashville Tennesseans' Nick Suss compiled a list of candidates to replace Brian Callahan. On that list, former Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. That would be a big loss. You've been saying it, man. That you didn't think Arthur Smith would be here beyond this year.
Nope.
If the Steelers wind up winning 11 or 12 games and the offense continues to be solid, and I think it has been solid, that first play of the game, play call to Darnell Washington, chef's kiss, thing of beauty, I think it'd be a big loss. And I'm starting to see it your way. And I could absolutely see them hiring him. Go back to the familiarity well. They never should have fired Vrabel in the first place.
Like, never.
We called that at the time. What an unmitigated, unforced error kind of disaster. But I could absolutely see Arthur Smith being the head coach in Tennessee after this season.
I mean, I think that he's going to have a few options or a couple options. I think that the North Carolina job is going to open up too. I think they're going to part ways with Bill Belichick. So he's going to have his pick of the litter, I think, at the end of the season. I mean, if it just stays the same right now, throughout the rest of the season, I think that he's just as good as gone. Like, I think regardless, he's just as good as gone. He either can take a North Carolina job in college or he can go to Tennessee. I think he's going to be the leading candidate.
I'd rather go to Tennessee.
Absolutely. I don't want anything to do with college football.
No, absolutely not.
Way easier to coach in the NFL.
Oh, and you've got your quarterback already because I liked him. I mean, I still believe in Cam Ward. It's a rookie season, and they stink. They got no weapons around him. This is why it's so funny that some Penn Staters are throwing out there the idea of Nick Saban. Like, you have to make the call, but Nick Saban left Alabama because he didn't like the state of college football. And he's going to go to Penn State? Come on.
Nope.
No friggin' shot. But I think Arthur Smith's had a really good season. The way that Dan Orlovsky put it in his film breakdown was, I'm going to get this right, cautiously aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not putting the ball in harm's way. I think they've been really consistent offensively. And now these last couple of weeks, they've found a way to run the football. I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue. I think Jalen Warren's a good player, and the offensive line's making strides. Or so we say. And so Trey Essex says. The bloggers in PFF, they don't think so. We'll get Trey's thoughts on the development, the growth of the Steelers' offensive line when we come back. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Ooh, look what I see there. A little 70-degree day on tap. Low of 52, clear skies. It's Fan Morning Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.